Good afternoon. For me, a privilege to share with you the project called Diabetes Literacy and Self-Efficacy Screening and Training Project. We call it DLAST, and it's a pharmacist intervention. It is basically a study to test the pharmacy intervention aimed at addressing diabetes among the Latino population in South Florida, specifically Broward County. At this time, I don't have no relationship to disclose. During the next 15 minutes, I am going to, hopefully 15 minutes, the main features of the intervention, comment on the type and significance of data being collected, share with you some preliminary findings, and present lessons learned and during the implementation of the study. We know that overall prevalence of diabetes among Latino population is approximately 7.3%. However, there's a lack of accurate and comprehensive data among Latinos in South Florida to adequately assess the burden of the disease, the risk factors, and the complications. We do know from the BRFS survey that the prevalence of diabetes in Broward County is 7.2% overall. But when we take a closer look into the adult population, we have a prevalence of 11.6 for ages 45 and 64, and 14.6% for adults 65 and over. Going back to the project, I should highlight that it is a pharmacist-led intervention designed by a multidisciplinary team, including pharmacist, a physician, a public health educator, and experts in behavioral change and patient decision-making. Why do we believe that pharmacists are key to address diabetes among the Latino population? First, chronic diabetes patients are in medication therapies. Pharmacists are medication experts. Second, pharmacists are recognized as an accessible healthcare resource in the United States and also in the country of origin of most of our target population. The botica, or the pharmacy, and the boticario, the pharmacist, are recognized health resources in most Latin American countries. Third, pharmacies are increasingly becoming part of the patient care management team. Lastly, there are existing evidence of pharmacies' intervention that have impact chronic diseases. Let me explain the main features of the intervention design for this research project. First of all, it is led by pharmacists that I had told you. Second, it is conducted in the community, not in a clinical setting. We'll try to go away from clinical setting in order to give the intervention. Thirdly, it incorporates a family or a friend. The patients that come to be part of the intervention should be accompanied by someone close to them that would be their support person. The main objective of the study then was to test the efficacy of an intervention called PARDS, Pharmacist Assessment and Reinforcement Diabetes Self-Efficacy Project. And it was supposed to improve, or we are expecting that it improves, diabetes health literacy or knowledge, perceived self-efficacy, health behaviors, and clinical outcomes. The study used a behavioral change theoretical framework to guide the design of the intervention, the surveys, the definition of variables, and should serve also this model for the interpretation of the results. In a nutshell, we argue that beliefs, perceptions, and behaviors, health literacy and knowledge, self-efficacy, perceived quality of life, impacts disease control and clinical outcomes. As stated, one of the features of the intervention is performed at the community. In order to achieve this, we established a community academic partnership with Hispanic Unity of Florida. Prior to the research protocol implementation, we established this partnership. It was very time-consuming and required multiple meetings, multiple negotiations of roles and expectations, and a lot of training, both researchers, clinicians, and the community partners. maybe this partnership will be one of the main legacies of the project. So I think that it was time well spent, but it, of the 2 years that we have of funding, a whole year became building up that partnership because there was no partnership before between the university and this community health partner. Regarding the research design, let me allow me to highlight the following. It followed many of the postulates of community-based research. That's why it took so long to do, right? Because we tried to incorporate our community partner in the design, the implementation. Even they received most of the funding. The university retained very little of the funding, and that was a big issue. Because, you know, so hopefully they will also participate in the process of data analysis and dissemination stages. We keep working with them to make sure that they participate at that level too. The project was a longitudinal randomized controlled trial with data collected at baseline, at intervals during the intervention, and the post-intervention. It used methodology, quantitative and qualitative, and also we designed a lot of instruments, and that's another important contribution of legacy of the project, to conduct surveys, interviews, focus group discussions, and clinical screenings. In summary, we had baseline clinical screenings and surveys. We had group discussions, two parts intervention, that's the pharmacy intervention, and a 3-month follow-up and a behavioral surveys at the end. I'm going to show you the flow of how the patients flow. We have a baseline screening, and this baseline screening also including a clinical screening, also including a behavioral survey, and all the 38 participants were then randomized, and the area in the left gets the flow of the intervention group. The intervention group came for a focus group discussion for 2 interventions with the pharmacist, 1-to-1 individual consultation with the pharmacist, and then everyone received a follow-up at 3 months. Let's take a quick look into what the pharmacy intervention itself was. Everyone in the intervention group went through the parts intervention or the pharmacy intervention. These are individual consultation with a pharmacist, and the patient loved it, you know, because they felt like finally someone was taking care of them in the system, because a lot of these people didn't have insurance and they were recent immigrants. So they loved the idea of having an actual pharmacist, and they kept saying that they liked the idea that they were seeing finally a professional that had in uniform, and that meant with the white coat. So this is the pharmacist. The pharmacist intervention included, as you see, an assessment of the of their medical history or intake, but it also developed with them goals for patient needs and expectations. In the second participation, all those goals were reassessed, and they were reinforced in terms of physical activity, nutrition, and they all also have a self-monitor blood glucose training in both interventions, and they reassessed it. Okay. Where are we now? We have finished all the interventions, are in waiting to conduct the last follow-up of this. So we haven't finished the whole screening of the 3-month screening for the last cohort. We have a wealth of data collected, and we'll start the more comprehensive data analysis process in the near future. However, we have some information about the ADA patients that is already giving us a better understanding of the Latino population in Broward County. That is already 25% of the population of the county and growing. We were able to recruit more women than men. The level of education is higher than what we expected. 48% of our population had already some college education, and we didn't expect to see that. Most of the people that came to us were married, maybe that because we required that there be a partner as part of the intervention. Also, we had a high level of religiosity that also we didn't expect that to be that high. And we also, and this is as expected, we did have a high number of uninsured or self-reported inadequate access to care. Also, from the qualitative data, we were able to know that there are there were people from many, many different countries. Of the 88, all these were the countries represented. So that for us in itself is a finding. From this discussion group, we also saw, starting to see some emerging themes. First of all, there was poor diabetes self-management, mostly based on myth and misinformation. They also thought that the natural medicine was safer than actually getting to medication. They were very worried about medication dependency or addiction, especially because they say that if they became addicted to the medication, they couldn't have continuity of care, and that worried them a lot, so they prefer using their natural product. There was a lot of distress association to the immigration issues, even though we found that most of our participants had been in the United States more than 10 years, immigration is still very present in their daily life. They're also in what they call survival mode. They don't plan, so planning for health is also not present. There were also many barriers to continuity of care and their high expectations about the healthcare provider and system. They want a paternalistic approach to health. They want to be cared. They don't want to be empowered. They resent being empowered. They think that there should be, the expectation is that the provider is the one who gives the service. Okay, there are many lessons learned that I don't think I have time to go through all of them, but they're about the recruitment, the retention, in terms of the diversity that we saw in the population. There were a lot of intervention issues that we had to plan in terms of the 2 years was not enough to go through all the intervention issues and planning for all the surveys. However, we are very grateful that we could finish 88 patients and have a wealth of information to interpret. It is too early to have a discussion of policy implication. However, we think that at the end of this project and when we interpret all the data that we have collected, we can do two things. One, improve the pharmacy interventions targeted for Latinos, but we also will have specific recommendation of how to facilitate access and continuity of care among immigrants of diverse Latino backgrounds. I would like to acknowledge CMS, Nova Southeastern University, and Hispanic Unity of Florida for the support and the resources to conduct the study. Thank you.